Hi, this is Eli Nelson, and this is the My City Church Podcast. Thanks for tuning in today. It is our prayer that this message will awaken you to come alive in the things of Christ. Enjoy the message.
Open up your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Let me see your Bibles first. Open up there. Hey, look at that. It's on your phone. Read the Word of God. It'll transform your life. Say, this is my Bible. Say, I am what it says I am. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. We got a bit of scripture here today. I'm going to ask that if you did be seated, if you're able to stand for the reading of the Word of God. If you're not able, that's fine. But out of respect for the Lord, let's read 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. We're going to be reading all of chapter 3 and into chapter 4. 2 Timothy is right after 1 Timothy. It's before Titus. It's kind of towards the end of your Bible. It's maybe a few chapters from the end of your Bible. Before Revelation, before Jude. Just keep going before Hebrews. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 says, "But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. This book was written just under 2,000 years ago." We got a lot of scripture to cover, so I'm going to try not to go through every little verse, all right? People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. It says, have nothing to do with such people. They are the kind who worm their way into homes and gain control over gullible women who are loaded down with sins and are swayed by all kinds of evil desires, always learning but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, these were the two people that threw their staff down and turned into a snake, and that's what many people believe those two people are. So also, these teachers oppose the truth. They are men of depraved minds who, as far as the faith is concerned, are rejected. But they will not get very far because, as in the case of those men, their folly will be clear to everyone. Verse 10. You, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecutions, sufferings, what kinds of things happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, the persecutions I endured, yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Let it be for what we stand up for. Amen. While evildoers and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived, but as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those who have learned it and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Verse 16, all scripture, say all scripture, is God-breathed, say God-breathed, and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Chapter 4, in the presence of God and of Jesus Christ, Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing in his kingdom, I give you this charge, preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season, correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. Not what the scripture says, but what they want to hear. Verse 4, they will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you, keep your head in all situations, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, discharge all the duties of your ministry. It's a powerful scripture today. I want to encourage you to read the word of the Lord. You want to be able to know what God says, read what he's already said. Hey, I want to talk to you from this topic today on having a form of, it says holiness up there, but having a form of godliness right here. Having a form of godliness. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word that is in this place. We just pray that you'd speak through me today. that you would help your church to represent you well here on this earth. As we're continually available for you to be transformed, I pray that you would speak to us. As the word of the Lord is sharper than a double-edged sword and penetrates our innermost being, we're not after man's opinion today. We're after yours. So help me to get out of the way and help us to see you. Church, if you're hungry for the Lord to speak to you, would you open up your hands and say these words after me? Say, Lord, speak to me. I'm listening. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. Come on, let's put our hands together for the word of the Lord today. You may be seated. Come on. How many of y'all watch Sesame Street? I wasn't allowed to watch Sesame Street. Elmo had different plans for my life, I guess. I'm not really sure why. Maybe I need to ask my parents. But in Sesame Street, there's one of those things where they have this song and they have these different objects up there and they sing it along the lines of, one of these things is not like the other. One of these things just doesn't belong. How y'all want to remember that song? I can't complete it because I never watched Sesame Street, so I don't want to make a fool of myself. But the truth is, the Bible talks about people that have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof, meaning that they look the part, they sound the part, but they don't have the power of the part. It can be deceiving to look at someone who may have it all together, but to realize that they actually don't have Christ at all. How do you tell the difference between someone that has a form of godliness and doesn't have the power thereof, or someone has a form of godliness because of the power thereof? Well, I can tell you that you need discernment to know the difference between a form of godliness and actual godliness. Having godliness but denying its power is, write this down today, depending on your own righteousness rather than his. The power to transform you is what Paul is referring to. Not your own righteousness, to not find your identity in what you do in your own good works, but in what he did and what he's already done for you. Therefore, you can move from righteousness, not for righteousness. Can I tell you, coming to church more doesn't make you more right with God. Doing more things, reading the Bible more doesn't make you more right with God. But if you're right with God, those things are a part of being right with God. One of them is working for righteousness, the other one's working from it. So I want to pray. Why? Because I'm right with God. I want to worship. Why? Because I'm right with God. The closer I get to God, the more of my sinfulness I'm aware of. And I can tell you, as this church, for us to be constantly open for people that are on different levels of their journey is imperative for us to also know that we also are on different levels of our journey. I want to talk to you about this idea of a form of godliness. Matthew chapter 7, verse 15 says, watch out for false prophets. This is Jesus talking. It says, they come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're ferocious wolves. By their fruit, say fruit, you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, say fruit, you will recognize them. So one of these things is not like the other. One of these things just doesn't belong. I got three cans of soda pop, bottles of soda pop. These aren't cans up here. I have, the team could have played a prank on me and just shook these up before we brought them out here. I have three cans here, three bottles here. One of them is Cherry Coke, zero. The other one, how many of y'all know what the gray cap is? It's Diet Coke, right? And then this other one is kind of a different shaped bottle. I'm being really careful here because I don't want to spill it. This other one here is Mr. Pibb. All of these have zero sugar. How many of y'all fans of Mr. Pibb in here? I heard someone be like, yeah. I heard someone like, yes, you got my soda pop up there, right? Now, the truth is, had I not told you what these are, I could pour all of these in this cup here, and you probably wouldn't be able to tell the difference. I need someone that has a delicate palate, that is very good at telling the difference between tastes. I need a volunteer right here. Come on up, come on up, come on up. All right, everyone put your hands together for her this morning. Come on. Here, you can step up right over here. Just watch your step over the speakers here. Step right over here. What's your name?
Malaysia.
Malaysia. All right, Malaysia. I'm going to have you turn towards the screen, and I'm going to mix up these drinks. And I don't want anyone to tell them which one is which. I want you to guess which one is which. All right. Now, you can face everyone, and you can come over here. And I want you to taste each one and tell me which one is Mr. Pibb. It's Coke. It's Mr. Pibb Zero. Which one is Diet Coke? And which one is Cherry Coke? They're all zero. They're all no sugar. Yep. All right. So give me a taste. Tell me which one. Give it a taste. And if you want to taste all of them first before you guess, or if you're really confident, what do you say that one is? You don't have to.
I'm going to say this one's the Pibb Zero.
All right. Let's put it down here. Okay. What's this one here? You know what? You were almost off, and then you got it right because you switched it up because I knew it. I just switched these two right here, and then I had Mr. Pibb over there. Yep, so this is correct. Everyone put your hands together for Malaysia. See, the truth is, you can't visually tell the difference. You can't tell from afar which one of us are saved, which one of us are not, which one of us have appearance of godliness, and which one of us are lacking the power. The truth is that you can only actually tell the difference when you taste it. And the Bible talks about the fruit, you will recognize them. By their fruit, you will see them. Matthew chapter 15, verse 1 says, "Then some of the Pharisees and teachers of the law came to Jesus from Jerusalem and asked, 'Why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? They don't wash their hands before they eat.'" It says you're not giving the appearance. Come on, we all need to look a certain way. Can I tell you, Christianity is not based on how you look. It's not based on how you dress. It's not based on how you talk. It's not even based on how you vote. It's not based on what you technically act and how you behave. Although, should you be following Christ, it should affect everything that you are. So we don't isolate what we believe from what we do. But we don't do in order to believe. It starts with a fruit in our lives. It starts with something in our hearts. So let's continue. Why don't they wash their hands? Come on. We just need people to behave a certain way. Can I tell you, when people come into this house, they will cuss. I'll never forget the time when I talked to someone who just gave their life over to Jesus. He says, "Dude, I effing love Jesus. I feel so free right now." Was he cussing? Was he cursing? Or was he just using language to describe his feeling? I can tell you that different people are coming in from different roads of life, and they are encountering God. Let us not get in the way. Now, to understand, if you encounter God, it does change who you are. So we don't leave it at that. Jesus replied, "And why do you break the commands of God for the sake of your tradition? For God said, 'Honor your father and mother.' Anyone who curses their father or mother is to be put to death. But you say that if anyone declares that what might have been used to help their father and mother is devoted to God." It's basically saying, hey, your mom and dad are in need, and you have money to be able to help them, but you're saying, no, this money's for God, it's not for you. "They're not to honor the father and mother with it. Thus, you nullify the word of God for the sake of your tradition. You hypocrites. Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They all look the same, but one of these things is not like the other." One of them is actually good, Mr. Pibb. "They honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules." Jesus called the crowd to him and said, "Listen and understand. What goes into someone's mouth does not defile them. But what comes out of their mouth, that is what defiles them." What do you taste like to this world? What do you taste like to other believers? What's the fruit that's coming out of your life? Are you looking at people and telling them to be like you? Are you looking at people and saying, we're all trying to be like Jesus? Now, being like Jesus, trying to be like Jesus, versus realizing that we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus are two different things. One is striving. The other one is identity-based works. I know who I am, therefore I am. I behave a certain way. I'm not trying to be perceived a certain way. I'm not trying to go around telling people how they're supposed to be and how I'm supposed to behave. But I actually take a moment and I realize that his ways are higher than my ways. It's not what I want to do, what he wants to do. And I ask that question, what comes out of your mouth? What comes out of your heart? What do people taste when it comes to you? Now, James 2, verse 18 says, I will show you my faith by what I do. And the Bible has this balance between grace and action. Like, there's a level of faith, yes, but then there's also action. James is heavily action-oriented. Paul is heavily like, hey, grace, grace, grace. That's because Jesus is full of grace and truth. James comes out, and he says this bold statement. He says, you have faith, awesome. I have faith. I show you my faith by what I do. But James 2:19 says, even the demons believe in God. So it's not one thing to believe. It's another thing to let that belief affect your behavior, to let that belief affect your actions. It's this word called posture. Posture. Everyone say posture. Posture can affect a lot of things in your life. It can give you back pain. You can tell someone has back pain by the way they walk. Do they walk? What happens first? Do they walk this way because they have back pain, or do they have back pain because they walk this way? Walk this way. Shout out. I don't even know who sings that song. It's Aerosmith, yeah. Cool. Thanks, guys. Right? I just know the song. But they might be walking like this now. What came first? Well, the back pain started. But if you would fix your posture, it might very well fix the back pain. I've had back pain for a few years. I was ego lifting. Don't recommend it, guys. Ego lifting, the definition of ego lifting is lifting a bunch of weight that you can't lift in order to impress people that you don't know. And I was doing that, and I felt something popping. And it took me a while. I was going through all this physical therapy, all this different types of stretching and behaviors to try to find out that the one thing I needed to fix was the way I slept. It was aligning my posture while I slept so that when I woke up, I wasn't inflamed. And I can't help but think a lot of us, as we follow God, we're trying to follow him with a different type of posture, and it's actually causing more pain than it is benefit. If you just took a moment to work on your posture of following the Lord, you would actually find that a lot of things start to line up in your life more than if you didn't. If you took a moment to have the right posture before the Lord, posture is a level of presenting yourself a certain way. There's also another thing known as posturing. Posturing is presenting yourself a certain way to be perceived by others. One is a verb, the other one is a noun. Posture is the way that we are. Posturing is the way that we want to be perceived. David gives us a great way to have ourselves have a great posture before the Lord. In Psalm chapter 51, if you guys open up your Bibles to Psalm chapter 51. Psalm is like right in the center of the Bible. And I want to highlight something here that's not, actually it is up here, right here at the beginning. You guys see this beginning part right before verse number 1. It says, for the director of music, your Bible should say this as well, for the director of music, a psalm of David, when the prophet Nathan came to him after David had committed adultery with Bathsheba. Not only did he have Bathsheba, but he had Bathsheba's husband murdered. That's some pretty wicked stuff right there. That's straight up demonic and devilish behavior there. And I want to show you David's posture before the Lord. It says, have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love. According to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin is always before me. Against you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, So you are right in your verdict and justified when you judge. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. Yet you desired faithfulness even in the womb. You taught me wisdom in that secret place. Cleanse me with hyssop and I will be clean. Wash me and I'll be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sin and blot out all my iniquity. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Then I will teach transgressors your ways so that sinners will turn back to you. Deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed, O God, you who are God, my Savior, and my tongue will sing of your righteousness. Open my lips, Lord, and my mouth will declare your praise. You do not delight in sacrifice, or I would bring it. You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings. My sacrifice, O God, is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. You, God, will not despise. May it please you to prosper Zion, to build up the walls of Jerusalem. Then you will delight in the sacrifice of the righteous, in burnt offerings offered whole. Then bulls will be offered on your altar. He says, a broken and contrite heart, Lord, that's what you won't turn away. But a prideful heart, one that says it all has it figured out, one that says, like, this is what God really wants. I'm going to offer these sacrifices. That's really, he says, you don't want these bulls. You don't want that bull. God doesn't want your bull. God wants your heart. God wants the purity and sincerity of your heart. To be able to step before him in full humility, saying, God, you know what? I don't have it all figured out. That is what we're supposed to have first before we teach transgressors his ways. But when we teach transgressors his ways, all they get is dead religion, and they don't get the right posture before the Lord. Posture is of a broken and contrite heart. That is something that the Lord will never turn away. Again, just reminding you, the posture is a particular way of dealing with or considering something, an approach or an attitude towards God. Posturing is to behave in a way that is intended to impress or mislead. Can I tell you, one of the most powerful forms of posture is humility. We need God's grace every day. My wife and I, we went to Panera Bread yesterday. How many of y'all like Panera Bread? We got a dozen bagels. We got some everything bagels. She got some wheat ones. We got some cinnamon crunch, or the cinnamon crunch ones. How many of y'all like the cinnamon crunch ones? Yeah, I do too. I like them too. My kids like them as well. And we got, what, three? Something like that, three or four? Well, anyways, yesterday afternoon, there was about three left, four left, actually. And I wanted my cinnamon crunch one. I didn't get it yet. I'm like, all right. I put it in the oven. You know, every kid, somehow they have a radar. The moment you open some kind of candy wrapper, they're like, what you eating over there? They heard that toaster go down. They go, I want a bagel. I want a bagel. And I'm like, all right, this was one of my daughters. And I'm like, all right, well, you can have the bottom half. I'm being generous, right? I'm being, sweetie, I love you so much. Like, you can have this one. Mine. I took the other one out, and we didn't have any cream cheese, unfortunately, because we ate it all, and all I had was butter. But it was still good, right? And I get it out, I'm spreading the butter, and another daughter comes up. Can I have one, too? I'm like, you should have asked me earlier. I could have given it to you earlier, but now my mouth is already watering. This is mine. You should have asked me earlier. And I could feel something welling up in my heart, like, this one's mine. You already had one this morning. This one's mine. I didn't say it exactly like that, but I looked at her. I said, you should have asked me earlier because I'm about to eat this one. And it wasn't necessarily the action, because you could say that, you know, kids, you know, they don't always get what they want. It's not a good way to give your kid always what they want. But posturing before the Lord, I have a good posture before the Lord. I wasn't motivated because I wanted to look good. I could feel in my heart that I was actually doing something wrong. I was motivated by conscience. I knew that I was being selfish. I could go out and buy one of these if I wanted. There was something in my heart that knew it was off. There was something in my heart. It's about posture before the Lord, to have humility before the Lord, to let the Lord sift every part of your life, not just how you look when you come to church or what you look in front of people at group, or to go through all the classes and, well, I did the heart and soul class, God, I'm good. But it's just a level of vulnerability before the Lord that gives God access to all of you. So I want to let you know, I'm not posturing, but I did give her the top part of the bagel. And I ate one of my wife's wheat ones. I'll tell you, it's one thing to notice when your heart is off. It's another thing to own it. Because we can get into a state, and I caught this when the little girl said, she said back to me, she said, Papa, you're hurting my heart. And I was like, well, you should have protected your heart a little bit better then. We know that's wrong. But truth, what is that? Like, you let people have that kind of control over you? I don't know if you guys saw that TikTok or that YouTube short of the person on April Fool's. They put something on the back of their mom's car, and it says, honk and flip my mom off for an April Fool's joke. And it gave her the worst day of her life. And I took a moment to think, do people have that kind of control over us? Do they have that kind of control over you? Do you let people take your joy? Do you let people rob you? Do you let what you see on the news take that from you? And I tell you, and if other people are infecting your fruit and how you taste, you have to take a moment and say, not anymore. You can't affect, you can't take my joy. You can't take my fruit, the joy of the Holy Spirit. You can't take this from me. What is the world trying to input into you, telling you how you're supposed to behave, how you're supposed to be? For the sake of your traditions, you got to wash your hands. This is how you're supposed to behave. Someone gets mad at you, you get mad right back at them. Eye for eye, tooth for tooth. But I say to you, turn the other cheek. Because God's speaking to something on the inside rather than on the outside. What kind of fruit is coming out of your life? What kind of flavor are people getting from you? Luke chapter 18 shares a passage in verse 9. It says, to some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable. Remember, these people were posturing, but they had the wrong posture. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, God, I thank you that I'm not like the other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even this tax collector. Could you imagine the goal of that person? I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. The Bible says to humble yourself before God and he will lift you up in due time. Do we go around and thanking God that we're not like certain people? God, I thank you that we're not like California. Have you ever caught yourself saying that? God, I thank you that I'm not like. Are you finding your position in your actions rather than in your relationship? Are you finding yourself posturing before the Lord? As holy as we may be at times, even on our best days, we're still not worthy of him. That's why Jesus came, to give us everything that we could not get on our own and take everything that we deserved. I want you to take a moment and to ask yourself, do you find yourself like this Pharisee? This man who said, God, I thank you that I vote the right way. I thank you that I believe all the right things, and they don't. I'm saying all of that is rooted in pride. It's the wrong posture before the Lord. Can I break it to you? Democrats aren't going to heaven. You want to know something else? Neither are Republicans. And we make class of that. You don't know. You just said that. It matters who you believe in. If you ever find yourself being something before a follower of Christ, you are usurping your identity in Christ and placing it in something else that will eventually disappoint. It's a follower of Jesus that goes to heaven. But when you find yourself saying, I'm glad that I don't vote for those gun, I don't vote like those gun-loving Republicans, or you find yourself, and I'm not trying to get this political, I'm really just trying to set a precedence. As Christians and believers, it matters our heart before the Lord. Now, when our heart is before the Lord, this is the kicker, it gives him access to every part of our lives. How we think, cinnamon crunch bagels, it gives him the access how we drive, how we behave to other people. So I'll have the worship team coming up because I'm not going to go through some of the other stuff that I talked about because this is where I'm going to land. How we behave to other people. And you may say, Pastor Eli, the Bible says, watch out for those false prophets. Like these people will be lovers of themselves, have nothing to do with them. There are bad people in this world. There absolutely are. But let me ask you this question. Who are you wrestling against? Who are you fighting against? If you think trying to get this person to do what you want them to do is the way to go, the Bible says you're going to turn them into a whitewashed tomb. He called the Pharisees twice the sons of hell as they are because they found their identity based on what they did rather than who they knew. How you go about and how you live in this world as a follower of Christ is not trying to teach everyone your transgressions without first having the posture. He says, then I will teach people the transgressions. Have the right posture before the Lord. And you know what the posture is before the Lord? Because if you were really honest, you have your shortcomings too. Guys, this is what the world needs. The world doesn't need us yelling at them. But the world also doesn't need us cowering away. You know what it needs is, hey, if it weren't for Jesus, we don't go around, I'm glad I'm not like that person. That's pride, guys. If you just took a moment, this is the best posture before the Lord. Oh, I'll never do that. Don't do that. I'll never be like that. Man, sin is crouching at your doorstep and it desires to have you, but you must rule over it. You know how you rule over it? By aligning yourself with the one who already has. It's not about trying harder. It's about trusting more. If you take a moment and you just say, God, man, if it were not for your grace, I don't know where I would be. This is the posture the world needs. I love what I'm seeing happen on college campuses, where I'm seeing people go around and they're debating the gospel. And I love the tenderness of heart that I'm seeing. Hey guys, I'm not saying I have it all figured out. I'm following the one who does. Would you join me in this journey? So you may be coming to church this week. This may be your second week here. This may be your first week here, right? I want you to tell you, this is not a bunch of people posturing what it looks like to be Christians. This is a bunch of people that say, hey, God, show us what it looks like to follow you. So I want to share with you one more verse here. Yeah, I guess I'll share that. Matthew chapter 13, verse 22. And then we'll stand to our feet after this. Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servants came to him and said, sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where then did the weeds come from? An enemy did this, he replied. The servants asked him, do you want us to go out and pull them all up? No, he answered, because while you're pulling the weeds, you may uproot the wheat with them. let both grow together until the harvest. At that time, I will tell the harvesters, first collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned, then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn. Let them both grow together. The difference between a wheat and a weed is the posture of heart. And I'm asking you today, I don't care how you dress, what you did last night. I don't care if you came in here showing everything or came here covering everything. If you find your pride in I don't dress like them, oh. I don't care if you did something this last week or if you find your pride and say, well, I never. I was a virgin when I got married. Like, if you finding your identity in that, both of those are wrong. This is the church that I want. I want a church that comes in here every single Sunday and says, God, if it were not for you, help me, Lord. We're not going to find our identity in what we don't do. We're not going to find our identity in what we do. We're going to find our identity in who we know. And when we posture ourselves properly before the Lord, that is what enables other people. Also, you want to know the difference between a weed and a weed? One that has the right posture before the Lord. It says, God, help me, a sinner. That person will walk away justified. The other person, they'll get what they get. Their own self-identity and feeling good about themselves. But that's not what we're after. So let's stand to our feet as we close today. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. If you're reading other books more than you're reading the word, you got to get your face out of the Facebook and your face in his book. You got to get in the word of God to be able to open up the word of God and say, God, teach me your ways. Help me to think like you. Help me to talk like you. I want to be like Jesus. And yeah, you got to stand up for what's true. You got to stand up for what's right. But just know what you're standing up against. You're not standing up against a person. You're standing for someone against a spirit behind the person. Because we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. They're not your enemy. The politicians are not your enemy. The siblings are not your enemy. Your kids are not your enemy. Your brothers are not your enemy. Your fellow students in your school are not your enemy. They're people made in the image of God. And every once in a while, we got to take authority over that spirit. And we got to stand strong with that spirit, against that spirit. Love the person. Stand against that spirit behind the person. I'm praying for a day that this church, and I believe it is here, that we are able to represent Jesus well to this city by the way our posture is. And we're able to see people that come in. Hey, man, I know where you were last night and where you are today. And I want you to know, you just made the best choice coming in the house of God today. I know what you did last week. Hey, I'm not trying to teach you to be like me. I know Paul says, you know, reflect me as I reflect Christ. That is true to an extent. I'm not trying to get people to be like me. I want you to be like him. To be like him, you got to know him. You got to spend time with him. Show me what's breaking your heart. You got to be able to know what makes him happy, what makes him sad. To know Christ, I don't want to get to heaven and realize I could have believed for more. I don't want to get to heaven and realize I could have known him more. That's our heart posture before the Lord. How many are blessed by this word this morning? Hey, it's one thing to believe it. It's another thing to act it out. But to know, he's with you. Right? Let's have the right posture this week. Amen? Amen. Hey, would you lift up your hands? Let me pray a prayer of blessing. And then we'll go back to the song, and then we'll dismiss after the song. Lord, I thank you for your people. Would you help us to have the right posture before you this week? Holy Spirit, would you say that out loud? Say, Holy Spirit, help us Holy Spirit. Say it again. Say, Holy Spirit. Search our hearts. Say that. Say, search our hearts. Let us know if anything, I mean anything. Oh, that's the conviction of the Holy Spirit. You feel that? That's a great thing to have. When you don't get it, it's called numbing out. You start ignoring the beeping of the seatbelt because you've been listening to it for so long, you stopped hearing it. This is the Holy Spirit coming and saying, yes, anything, that thing. I want that thing. Oh, but God, I want that thing. To be like him? Say that out loud. Say anything. Holy Spirit, right now we give you access. And remember, it's not my prayer, but it's really your prayer before the Lord. God, I give you access to every part of me. The way I think, the way I behave, the way I respond, the way I talk back, the way I'm selfish. It's my cinnamon crunch bagel. The way I respond to other people when they're angry at me to the car, help me to reflect Jesus. Help me to not go around judging other people, Lord. Help our church not to go around just saying, God, I'm glad I'm not like them. I got it all figured out, God. No, but Lord, help us. We thank you that we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We don't have to stay beat down. I'm not talking about beat down Christianity where you just have to beat yourself up. That's not what I'm talking about. But I am talking about if it were not for Jesus Christ, you would be just like the people that you judge. So let's not take that posture, but let's have the posture before the Lord saying, Lord, help us. Help us to reflect you well. Help us to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. That when people would taste and see that the Lord is good, let them taste that through us and our fruit. God, that we would be able to distinguish ourselves from this world by the way we behave, by the way we posture, by who we believe in. God, I pray that they would be able to see Christ Jesus in us, the hope of glory.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If this message encouraged you, help us get the word out. Consider sharing it with a friend, rating, or subscribing. If you want to know more about our church, check out our website at mycitychurch.cc or our Instagram at mycitycentral. We look forward to sharing another encouraging word with you next week. God bless.